What's going on, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Conversations with Jacob. Today we got a good episode lined up for you, but before we get to our guest, I want to talk about the podcast for a second. If you catch the podcast every Monday at 1 p.m., that's Eastern Standard Time. You can find us on Facebook, Conversations with Jacob, and Twitter at CWJ Podcast. The podcast is available on YouTube, and where podcasts are available, and we're on 20 different sites at this point. If you got a question, guest suggestion, or just want to say hi, Conversations with Jacob at gmail.com. Our website's conversationswithjacobpodcast.weebly.com. You can find upcoming shows, past guests, so much more over there. And also, if you want to check out another podcast, check out Two Chairs, No Waiting. It's an Andy Griffith fan podcast with Adam Newsom. Check it out at twochairsnowaiting.com. I guess that's like a plug for them as well. My guest today is Bob Ross, not the painter. Not the painter. Fortunately, he's been dead for some quite time. But joining me today is Bob Ross. Today, and we're going to talk about the hidden secrets to healing, and also the missing link to cancer. I'm Bob, and welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much. And regarding my name, I love my name, Bob Ross. Little did my parents know they're going to give me a famous name.
Yeah. All right.
I opened up the newspaper and I saw that I had died. Okay, good.
I guess I get started here with the podcast. Can you tell people a little bit, like a background about who you are?
Yes. Well, it's quite a fascinating story. My mom was a very gifted professional musician, and my father was a mortician.
Oh.
And his dad was a mortician, and it was a family business. I was the oldest boy, and I was supposed to be a mortician.
Mm.
Then going into medicine, one day my father says, "Son, you're bad for business." So that's the best compliment you could give me, Dad. Thanks. So, and of course, I grew up, you know, around the mortuary, and I would go on calls with my dad, and that really helped me in elementary school, especially when I was bullied, because I just had, you know, my dad is a mortician. He puts bodies in the ground, so you better behave yourself. And I'll never forget, I was 16 years old, and I finally was able to do my first solo pickup. Because I would always go with my dad, you know, and sometimes we'd pick up someone at their home or a nursing home or the hospital. And it was a hospital in Portland, Oregon. And I got there, it was like 1:30 in the morning. But I was excited. It was my first solo run, kind of like a solo pilot, right? First solo flight. And I checked in. Oh, he's still in his room on the fourth floor. Oh, okay, great. Don't have to go to the morgue. I like it. So I get to the fourth floor, check in the nurse's station. Oh, he's in 423. Awesome. So I went to 423. I walked in, and he's on the bed, and his wife's at the foot of the bed, and she's just weeping. And so I put the gurney in, which is like an ambulance gurney that we use, and I introduced myself. Hey, I'm Bob Ross from Ross Hollywood Chapel, and I'm so sorry for your loss. And I put my arms underneath the gentleman and picked him up and brought him onto the gurney. And when I did that, he went, oh! Her head popped up, and she said, "Who'd you say you were with?" "Ross Hollywood Chapel." "The mortuary?" "Yes, ma'am." "He's not dead." "Guy in that bed was dead. They took him out 5 minutes ago."
About that.
I about peed in my pants.
I bet.
You know, isn't the business.
Yeah. So did you ever think that you'd be in the funeral business, or because you came from a family with that background, did you ever think you'd be in the, you know, or did you have like a different route to take?
Well, I love science. I love physics. Love music. Played three instruments growing up: piano, guitar, trumpet. And my mom had perfect pitch. So I've been living and playing the piano. She'd be in the kitchen, "Bob, that should have been a C sharp." So I had all these interests. And when I was in high school, my father and grandfather pulled me aside and said, "Hey, we have an offer for someone who wants to buy the business. And if you want to follow in our footsteps, we won't sell, and eventually this will be yours. But we understand, you know, being an undertaker is not everybody's cup of tea and might not be what you want to do. And of course, in high school, I didn't have the wisdom to think ahead, right? So I said, no, that's fine. I want to pursue science. And yeah.
No, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Keep going. I'm
Okay.
sorry.
Yes. So anyway, so I started college as a double major in music and physics, and came to find out that that was a 6-year program because they both had lab sciences in the afternoon at the same time. So I decided to get the physics degree because I knew with music I could always play and sing, regardless of whether it was a profession. And so I got a degree in physics, and then I was the first ever to graduate with distinction. And it's like a mini PhD. And it was in my dissertation was in nuclear physics. And when I was there, and I'd always loved emergency medicine and medicine growing up, which is, kind of irritated my dad, but I would get all the first aid merit badges and Boy Scouts and go down to ambulance and fire stations and talk to them after school and all that. And so when I was getting my undergraduate degree, I saw a posting for PhD programs in medical physics, which is basically the application of physics to medicine. So it's pretty broad. So the MRI scanner, that's medical physics because it's using magnets, right?
Yeah.
You can use radiation to image nuclear medicine. And then, of course, the main focus is for people wanting to get into the treatment of cancer. So
Now,
I
I'm sorry. Sorry, keep going. I'm sorry to interrupt him.
So I was only one of three people who got accepted into the program at Harvard, and I actually turned them down because when I went there, I found out that their main focus, once you got your doctorate, was to work in the lab, work in research. But I was a people person. I wanted to treat people with cancer. So that's why I went to another medical school. I can't tell you which one at this point, and you'll soon find out why. So when I was there, I actually helped make one of the biggest breakthroughs probably ever in cancer therapy. It's known as the hyperthermia effect. So it turns out that if you increase the temperature of cancer cells, it makes them weaker and then easier to take care of. So just heat up the body. And there are many ways to do that. Infrared nowadays is great because it goes deeper, but saunas and even medications can induce the fever. And by doing that, we estimated you could reduce the amount of chemo and radiation dramatically. And we were peer reviewed, all that, and it was basically suppressed.
So, is there a cure for cancer? Or
See, that was my gut-wrenching, eye-opening revelation. That now that I'm on the inside, there were things. Here's a good example. So, in medical journals, there were articles about things in nature that cut off blood flow to tumors. And so I go to my professors, I go, this is great. And when are we going to start using it? I go, never. I go, but it's from nature, there are no side effects. That's why we're not going to use it. It's from nature. We can't patent it, we can't make money on it. And I assumed that was the deal about why ours was suppressed, because if we use less chemo, less radiation, that's less profit. Isn't that sad?
Oh, yeah.
But the good news is, fortunately, our breakthrough was heard around the world. So if you go to any place that is not for profit, like Germany, East Asia, the cancer clinics in Mexico, the first thing they'll do is heat your body up. Now,
Wow.
one thing I forgot to do, and this is very important, I should make a medical disclaimer. So this conversation is not to be construed as medical advice. Always consult a medical healthcare professional prior to starting or changing any treatment program. Very, very important. And you don't want to go on your own anyways.
Absolutely, yeah. Now, I was now, and what are the three massive mistakes when I guess being diagnosed with a brain tumor?
So What I highly recommend is I actually put together a 45-minute masterclass, The Secret Three of Cancer Cells, What All Cancer Cells Need to Survive, What to Do If You're Diagnosed, and then we'll talk about that a little bit later, about my latest brain technique breakthrough. And it's the hidden secret to healing.com. The hidden secret to healing.com. And again, the masterclass is free. But and that came about because of things that I found out when I was, in the medical school program. And it was so discouraging. In fact, just be careful what I say, which is so sad. Because the standard in the United States is radiation, chemotherapy, and surgery. Right? That's kind of the standard. What I realized was the key to medicine in general is to help the body heal. Just to help the body heal. So I spent a total of 11 years in school. I finished my internship and I walked away from the field because I got into medicine to help people. Right? And that's why I shifted into emergency medicine, because we're the best in the world in emergency medicine. Phenomenal, right? We're like 28th in the world for healing somebody who's sick with an illness. We're the most advanced technology in the world, and we're like 28th in our success rate. Isn't that crazy making? And again, for this is my judgment, and that's because we're focused on treating symptoms as opposed to finding the source, the cause, and then reversing it. Here's a perfect example. In fact, I brought this up at the fire station on Christmas with the guys. That if we have a person who's low in potassium, okay, the mineral potassium, it can give you irregular heartbeats. So what's the best solution to solve that problem, the regular heartbeats? Is it to zap them with a defibrillator? Is to push drugs in them or give them potassium? Because the most effective is the potassium from nature. Now they make synthetic potassium, but what do you think is better? More effective. What's
More
from nature?
effective.
And that'll solve the problem. And that's the key. You've actually solved the source of their problem. So
right.
when I walked away from the field, at that same time, because I kept up my music. When I was in college, I played trumpet in bands. I sang in the choir. I sang in a professional barbershop quartet. And when I walked away, doors magically opened for my music and comedy. So I sing professionally, play trumpet, and do stand-up comedy, voiceover work, right? Just magically opened up. I love when that happens. So I became a full-time entertainer. And I traveled around the country and played studio gigs, live gigs, eventually became a headliner. So I'd be brought in for like corporate events, like shareholder meetings to do music and comedy and voices, and then they'd pay me. What? What? And at the same time, about 2 years after that, I found out about the Pasadena Fire Department had an emergency medical reserve program. So you had to go through the regular hiring process, physical agility tests, oral board certifications, all that. But you were a volunteer. And as a volunteer, I have flexibility in my schedule so that I could go on tour and so forth. And I've actually been with Pasadena Fire now 36 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I asked the fire chief, I said, Chief, so no one's ever volunteered for 36 years before. Are you going to name a fire station after me? He says, well, Bob, it's actually in the works. It is. I was just kidding. No, it's in the works. It's the Bob Ross
Oh,
Memorial Station. Memorial. Wait a minute. Never mind. My family can wait. It's okay. My family can wait.
wow.
Yeah. So that was a perfect combination for me, because in emergency medicine, like I say, life and death decisions, we can literally snatch people from the jaws of death. And I get a lot of intuitive hits to be someplace at a certain time to save somebody who would have died otherwise. Fact,
Wow.
here's an example. So I was on duty with the fire department at an event at the Rose Bowl. And my partner and I were stationed at the south end of the bowl. And I literally heard in my head, go to the north end of the bowl. Happens all the time. It's just like a still small voice. That's why I know the big guy's doing it, right? It's not me. And I've learned to pay attention to that. So I turned to my partner and said, we need to go to the north end of the bowl. We're supposed to be at the south end. It's okay. Well, I'll get in trouble. It's fine. So we get in our ambulance cart, rescue cart, and we drive up. And I all of a sudden I go, ooh, stop, stop. I got to pee. Stop right here. Within 20 seconds and within 20 feet of where we stopped, a guy right in front of us dropped to the ground.
Oh, wow.
Turned to one and says, well, I guess this is why we're here. Woohoo! So, young
Man.
guy, early 50s, he's buffed in great shape. At about 30 seconds after working on him, because he was breathing, his heart stopped and he died right in my arms.
Wow.
Well, not on my watch, right? So, I started CPR and got out the defibrillator. By the way, when I was doing CPR, one of the things you might not know is when someone dies, and we bring them back from clinical death. Sometimes people remember it and sometimes people don't. If they do remember it, they say the same thing every time, regardless of their religious upbringing. Bob, when I died, my spirit left my body. I floated up, usually about seating level, and I'm looking down at the ground of my body. When you were the one doing chest compressions, you were the one putting the thing in my throat for my airway. You said, airway, 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 right? And because of that, so when I'm doing chest compressions on this guy, starting CPR, I'm looking up and I'm saying, hey, buddy, I didn't know his name. Hey, buddy, there's a reason I'm here, man. It's not your time. You got to come back. You got to come back. And if I'm doing it on someone who's elderly, guess who I talk about when I'm doing CPR?
Who?
Their grandkids.
Oh, yeah.
I assume they have grandkids because that's usually their driving force of their life, right?
Oh,
And so
yeah.
rate goes up. Isn't that creepy but cool?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So can you t talk about the hidden secrets to the brain technique?
Yes. So I come from a long line of inventors. My grandfather was a famous research chemist. He produced an alternative to chlorine. And because it was back in Duluth, Minnesota, and they used boilers for heat and they would rust out, right? And so he invented this alternative to chlorine. And you could use it in pools, you could swim with your eyes open, there's no problems at all. It was amazing. And a company came and said, hey, we need to get this out all across the country. We'll do this distribution, all the expenses of manufacturing, and you'll get a royalty, right? So he signed over his rights to them. And I guess they were a shell company for the chlorine industry because they snuffed it. And I believe there are 150 patents in my family line. In fact, I developed a technique that takes away headaches in about 30 seconds, based on eye movement. And one of the things that I do besides my fire department work is I work as a motion picture set medic. I
Oh.
work on movies, television shows, commercials, music videos, when stunts go wrong, things blow up, guys get electrocuted, people have medical emergencies. So I worked on The Amazing Race, several of the Criminal Minds, SWAT, SEAL Team, Star Wars, and
Oh,
I was the lead medic on American Ninja Warrior for 3 seasons.
well, how about that?
I was so busy in that show. It was nonstop, nonstop. So I remember on Criminal Minds, I got a call to the director that the director was having a problem. And she said, oh, Bob, I'm having a really bad headache. Can you adjust some Tylenol or something? I said, well, I can take it away in 30 seconds if you want. She goes, well, how are you going to do that? I go, well, just relax. And I did my technique. 30 seconds, the headache was gone. She got up and gave me a big hug, and they went on and continued the shooting.
About that.
Yes. So, and if someone goes to the website and watches the webinar, we'll find out that I was diagnosed with a brain tumor. And I was fascinated that I was able to, and evidently I'd had that for a long time, and I was able to get a degree in physics and this PhD work in medical physics. And how can that be when it looks like part of the brain was missing, you know? And that just fascinated me. And that started that whole, I call it the funnel effect, right? So even with intuition, getting intuition to read a certain book, well, I've already read on that topic. Oh, if I get a hit, I better do it. And sure enough, somewhere in there will be a key kind of solves this. And I was always curious about the placebo effect. Now, you might have heard the placebo effect in a drug trial to know if it really the drug works. They have to, some people get the real pill and some people get a sugar pill. But everybody thinks they're getting the real pill. They don't say, hey, this is a sugar pill. In fact, they have to do it so that no, even the person handing the pill doesn't know what it is, because that could influence it, right? Which is pretty cool if you think about it. Just my thought of, hey, this is going to work, could actually make it work for somebody. Crazy. So, and if they tell you about the side effects, even though you're given a sugar pill, you'll have the side effects. And I found out about this, you know, of course, when I was in the medical school program. I said, well, wait a minute. That means that the mind, not the physical brain, it's actually the mind, has the ability to create the benefit of the drug without the drug. Right? And I was fascinated. About 35% of people will get the placebo effect. Now, it's interesting. That's the highest percentage. 20% of people get the placebo effect if the pill was given them by a nurse. 25% will get it if it's given to them by a doctor. If the doctor's wearing a lab coat, it's the highest 35%. Now it's the same pill, but you know what, Jacob? It turns out to be that the key was
What's that?
their belief. Ooh, if a doctor in a lab coat, right, that gives more authority in the mind, is giving me this, it must be really good. So, and of course, when I went to my professors about this, they said, oh, that gets in the way. We hate that placebo effect. I go, why would you hate it? Well, we're in the business of medicine. It's not healthcare, it's the business of medicine. How can we make any money if people are healing themselves with their thoughts? Yes.
So you're saying that that they can give you a pill that's kind of like the real pill, but it's not the real pill.
Well, it's not even a real pill in that it's a pill, but it just has sugar in it, as opposed to the pill that has the medication that they're, you know, trying to evaluate.
All right. So when they take the fake pill. So basically, when they take it within their mind, they think it's the real thing.
And that's why they do that in clinical trials to see if the drug is actually the drug working, or if that placebo effect.
Wow, I
Yeah.
didn't know that.
So one of my passions is to get that into medicine. And here's a classic example. So let's say you had a bad infection, and if the doctor gave you this prescription for the antibiotic and said, this is the most powerful antibiotic for exactly what you have, it would work better. And they don't do that. In fact, a lot of times it's the opposite, right? Sometimes, and especially in a hospital setting, doctors, oh, he's got 3 hours to live. Shut up. Remember we talked about, if the patient can hear that, they're going to believe it. And often what happens in 3 hours?
Sometimes they're still alive.
Well, many times,
Oh,
because they believe that they only had 3 hours to live. In
yeah.
fact, there's this documented. There's a woman who had a terminal cancer, and I think it like spread to her brain and lungs, bones, and just awful. And the doctor said, at most, you have 6 weeks to live. You'll get your affairs in order. But her granddaughter was getting married like in 7 months or something. But she only had 6 weeks to live. Guess how long she lived?
And how long?
8 months.
Oh, wow.
Now that's medically impossible. Her body was shutting down. That's the power, the ability that the mind has. So the subconscious part of the mind has that ability to override and reprogram. And obviously the body was producing things to keep the cancer at bay. And isn't that just amazing?
It is amazing. So for people who think they're taking a pill that may not be a pill, which may just be a fake one.
They only do that in a trial,
Oh, to try. Okay.
the
All right.
clinical trials. Yeah.
All right.
Yes. Now, oh, you're going to love this.
All
So,
right.
and again, this is documented. There's a man who had severe multiple personality disorder. So let's say one of his personalities, let's say Jimmy, had fully had type 1 diabetes. So he was insulin dependent. His pancreas could not work at all. Another one of his personalities, let's say James, had a fully functioning pancreas and no diabetes. Well, was there anything wrong with his pancreas?
I
No. So what was turning his pancreas on and off?
His mind.
Mind.
Yeah.
That's how powerful it is. And again, we don't use it in medicine. We can use it. In fact, that's how I first discovered this was my brain technique is understanding the frequencies that the brain operates in, the language of the brain, and it's not statement. So affirmations aren't very effective. Like
Sorry.
so if you say, for instance, I'm successful and I prosper and all that. But in your subconscious part of your mind, you have a belief that says, no, you don't want to be successful because people take advantage of you, or they'll think that you're an evil person or whatever. That will override that statement. So you have to get your brain into a frequency to kind of put that conscious mind aside and then actually state questions as opposed to comments. And the questions have to be phrased perfectly. For instance, because the brain doesn't know the past or the future, the subconscious doesn't. Conscious mind does, right? Subconscious only knows right now. So if you say, how am I going to have this in the future? It only knows right now. So you have to phrase it as though it's right now. It's kind of complex, but that's why I teach it on my course, and you can apply it to standard things. And then I realize you can actually apply it to healing.
So, when our brain says that we're in pain or whatever, then it could be our mind, and we're not really in pain.
So interesting, pain, good question in there. So pain is an electrical signal. And the purpose of pain is to tell you that there's something wrong. The perfect example is if you put your hand on a hot stove, you want to have pain so that you know, hey, you're getting burned. And you know there are illnesses where people can't feel, right? And they'll get
Yeah.
burned because they don't know they're burning. So it's just an electrical signal. They're getting burned. Well, any time that you push up against something, in fact, your viewers can try this experiment. Have somebody hold up a hand. Okay? Don't just say, hold up your hand. And then you take your hand and press against it and push. You know what that person's going to do? Going to push back.
Push back, yeah.
So with pain, the more you focus on it, it actually can increase the pain.
Wow.
So again, the purpose of the pain is to tell you there's a problem so you can address it. And I, again, this is not medical advice. I did an experiment. I burned my finger and I did the treatment. You want to flush it for at least 5 minutes, because I don't know if you know this, but even when the flame's taken away, the cells keep burning like charcoal.
Wow.
And it can take 5 minutes of flushing to put out the internal fire. Now, people only flush for about 30 seconds because it feels better because the surface feels better, right? It's cool. So a minimum of 5 minutes, up to 15 sometimes. Okay? Water, 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 water. You ever seen a firefighter throw butter on a house fire?
No, don't think so.
Margarine, mayonnaise, Vaseline, A1 steak sauce. People put the weirdest thing on burns. We get out to them and go, Would you do that? Well, my grandma said that you should put it on there. Well, hey, your grandma, we got a problem. So here's the deal. So once that fire is put out, if the and that's our job, right? That's how we're helping the body heal. If it's an open wound, then you do need to seek medical care, like an urgent care, because of possible infection if the skin is open. But otherwise, the aloe vera plant. So in the leaf of the aloe plant, it's a green gel. It's like a Novocaine. It takes away the pain. It's a natural antiseptic and antibiotic, and it prevents scarring
Oh, wow.
from nature. And if you get aloe vera in a jar, it's only 10% as good as the leaf. Because as soon as you cut the leaf, the enzymes start to change and you lose it's still is good, better than nothing, right? But that's a perfect example of the wisdom of nature, and the body's designed to heal, and we're just using what God provided in nature to help the body heal. Now let's see, what was your question again? It was, oh, about nerve pain. Yes. So I
Yeah.
burned and I went through that process. And rather than putting on the immediately putting on the aloe vera gel, since that takes away the pain, I said, okay, I'm going to do an experiment. And I focused on the pain. And I said, thank you, brain, for telling me that I burned myself. I'm fully aware of burning myself. And I accept this pain because it's a good signal. But now that I've got the message, I don't need the signal anymore.
How about that?
It worked.
Oh, it worked.
The pain went away.
Oh,
Yeah, and after that, I still put to help it, heal faster, right? But in
wow.
terms of the pain, like you said, it's an electrical signal. And I know Tony Robbins, brilliant man. He found a way to almost like self-hypnosis, and he can have dental work with no Novocaine.
God. Yeah, that's crazy.
You can be pretty confident in your abilities to. All right, doctor, go ahead and start. See what happens.
Yes. So the people that's listening and watching, we're not telling you to go burn your finger or throw things on fire
That's
or
right.
put it on your cut.
Just
You
a
know,
tip.
so don't send me an email saying you did it because I was if I'm not responsible for
Yes.
So basically, that we could focus on like a pain or a cut, and we can make that kind of I guess stop.
So more, and that's kind of a cool thing, but the more important thing is, if you believe, let's say you're getting a treatment for anything, whether it's antibiotic or anything, just like I said, if the doctor gives it to you, say, oh, this is the best thing on the planet. Well, if you believe and just decide to believe, I believe this is the best antibiotic for what I have. And studies have shown, there are books written on this about the placebo effect and the nuances that actually improve that. So any treatment, let's say you have cancer and you've decided to go a certain treatment route, it can improve. I had a client that I helped, and it wasn't cancer she had, but the medication she was given, 100% of the people that get it lose their hair. Never in the history of that drug have people not lost their hair. Okay. So I taught her my brain technique, and she didn't lose her hair.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So, can anybody learn this technique?
Yes. So the I call it the hidden secret brain technique because it's my invention. Yes. And that's why I encourage people to go to the hidden secret to healing.com. They can get that whole free master class, find out a little bit more about it. And there's enough information in that master class that people technically don't need me. Right? But if they want my help, they can get my help.
There you go. Now, and where can people find you at on the internet?
So I found that, unfortunately, natural medicine is greatly suppressed. in the United States. So YouTube pages are taken down. If you talk about any alternative to standard chemo and radiation and surgery, right? We had this discussion,
Yeah.
and I was recommending to people, do you know this? They would, take it down. Very sad. And it got even worse during COVID. Leading cardiologists, virologists, MD, PhDs, were trying to say, well, why aren't we treating people who are sick when they get sick? Why do we wait until they can't breathe? That's like calling the fire department and say, hey, my kitchen's on fire. Oh, well, we're not going to come. Wait till it spreads to the living room and then call us. But that's what we were told. We were told just to stay home, right? Take Tylenol. Oh, that brings up another good point. So
Right.
after follows, my brain goes, doo, doo, doo. So after our hyperthermia discovery, right? It was discovered that viruses have the same hyperthermia effect. So if you increase the temperature of viruses, it makes them weaker and easier for the immune system to take care of.
Oh, wow.
So that's why your body gives you a fever. A fever is a great, wonderful thing. And yet, if you call your doctor, most doctors, and you say, hey, doc, man, I got a fever of 101. What should I do? What's most likely he going to tell you to do?
Take some Tylenol.
To do what? To cut the fever.
Get the fever, yeah.
Well, and I'll give you another example. Cancer cells have three things that they need to survive, right? Every cell, like a petri dish, right? It's got to have an environment to survive. So cancer cells need to be in an acidic environment. They need low oxygen levels, the opposite of healthy cells. They need high oxygen, need low oxygen levels. And in the webinar, I talk about how you can actually increase those things and balance the pH. They thrive on sugar. So that's why a lot of people with cancer waste away, because the tumor, the can this cancerous cells will literally steal glucose, the body's sugar, from other parts of the body.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, and this is known. This is biology. Okay, this is biology. And yet, oh man. Okay, remember, I'm not giving medical advice. If you go to the hospital for cancer treatment, guess what they give you if you ask for it? In fact, they even offer it to you.
What's that?
Milkshakes, Jell-O, soda.
That are the
Yeah. So that's why, a little knowledge can go a long way. So,
right. Now we're going to have people going to the hospital for a milkshake or some Jell-O, probably. But anyways, towards the end of the podcast, which I like to ask the guests for closing thoughts. Do you get any closing thoughts?
Yes. One is to pay attention to that still small voice, that intuition. It may be that you're driving home and you just have the thought, oh, I should take that route. And you go, that doesn't make any sense because it's longer. Whenever, especially those are usually really good hits, right? If it doesn't make sense, then take that route. One of my classic examples was the church I go to. People come from all over the world to hear the music, and the parking lot's pretty small. So, they ask us, "Hey, park like a block or two away and walk over." And so I was parked where I normally do. And when I parked, I heard, "Don't park here." Well, no, I'm trying to benefit visitors so they can have a spot. Right? So I argued against that, and I went in, and I'm sitting in the second row. And suddenly the pastor, he's sitting in front of me, is handed a note. And he turns around and says, Bob, do you have a Lincoln Town Car with this license plate? Yeah. Well, you don't anymore. Someone smashed into your car and destroyed it.
Oh, wow.
Now, I could not have that knowledge, right? That's why I believe, intuition comes from God. It's the only explanation for spiritual beings, like, right, when we die, that's proof that we're spiritual beings in a physical body, which is huge. So pay attention to those intuitive hits. If you get a hit to take a different route home, it might be longer, but that may have saved your life because it may be that something, bad was going to happen. In terms of that person I saved, he turned out to be a pastor at the Rosebud. He turned out to be a pastor. And he had a mechanical defect with his heart that he didn't know. His heart was perfectly clear, arteries perfectly clear, no heart attack. And the cardiologist who treated him said, if that ever happens with what you have, it's a 95% death rate. He said, the only reason alive is somebody witnessed your heart stopping, instantly started CPR, and shocked you within about a minute.
Wow.
So without that intuitive hit, we would have been at the south end of the bowl. Somebody would have had to have found him, called 911, then it goes through the fire department dispatch, and they dispatch us, and by the time we got there, it would have been too late.
Wow.
Isn't that something?
It is for sure. Now, I know, and what are some of the websites people can find you on? Cause I know one is even I don't know. Can you tell us about the websites?
Yeah, so oh, and we kind of alluded to that. So I put it together a Facebook page and a YouTube page, and I found that neither of those were safe from effect from the media company.
So they shut them all down.
Or they search to make it so it doesn't appear when people search in YouTube. It's really sad. And of course, not just me. So that's why I put together the Hidden Secret to Healing. .com against the hidden secret to healing.com. And in order for people to get the master class, make it private, then it can't be affected. So that's the very best. They'll get all that and some laughter as well. Oh,
Absolutely,
did you know, this is another good thing, that when you laugh, good hearty belly laugh, as much like, especially if you're crying because you're laughing so hard, you produce interferon, interleukin, and antineoplastins, your anti-cancer drugs, in a stronger concentration than the strongest chemotherapy drug on the
Wow. Yeah, I didn't know that.
planet. And even scripture says that laughter is a medicine.
Yeah,
Literally is. Isn't that amazing?
is.
So, and Dr. Roman Cousins, great book he wrote because he used laughter to heal himself of cancer. And he was a medical doctor, right? So even in the face of bad stuff, laugh. And one of my greatest phrases to help people when something is bad going on, especially if they have the thought, right? Oh man, I'm never gonna accomplish it. I'm never gonna survive. I'm gonna die. You still recognize it, but even though I have the thought that I'm gonna die, I choose to believe that there's hope. That I'm a self-healing miracle. Right? So even though you state what's true, and that satisfies the conscious mind that you're not denying what's going on, right? So even though, and then I choose. You can do that with thoughts about health, thoughts about success, about relationships. Huge.
All right, Bob. I've come to the end of the questions. Unless there's anything you want to add to it before we wrap up.
This is great. I appreciate Jacob, you taking the time and letting me come on and share my wild life story.
Oh yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Oh, anyways, and that does it for this episode of Conversations with Jacob. Tune in next Monday for another interview. I'll catch you guys next Monday. All right, so take care, and I'll see you guys then. All right. All right.